The title of our message today is The Faith of Jochebed, the Mother of Moses. The Faith of Jochebed, Mother of Moses. Now, Jochebed is two Hebrew words that are put together. In Hebrews, you would say it, and you've got to use a sound, which is the spit sound to us, but in Hebrew, it's part of their language. They use it a lot. So her name in Hebrew is, the J is anglicized. There is no J in Hebrew. So in Hebrew, you would say Jochebed. That's her name, Jochebed. So Jochebed, as we would say, or Jochebed, as we would say, is the mother of Moses, and her name means Yahweh is glory. The first part of her name is the shortened form of Yahweh. The second part of her name is the word for glory. Yahweh is glory. And she's the first person in the Bible to have any kind of Yahweh's name in her name that we find in the scriptures. And she trusts God. She has faith that God can take care of her baby who's born in such a difficult time. Now, this is a Mother's Day message. Happy Mother's Day to all of you moms who are out there. We will be covering Exodus 2, 1 through 10. Jochebed finds herself pregnant during one of the most difficult times for the children of Israel, why they are in slavery in Egypt. First of all, giving birth to a child in slavery would be difficult. Secondly, giving birth to a child in slavery when a decree has gone forth that all of the male babies would be killed. The world has been a dangerous place throughout history for babies, for children. And it was the same thing for her when she was pregnant. And think about it. If you were giving birth to a child in a situation like that, what would the first thing be in your mind when you found out that you were pregnant? Lord, please let this be a girl. You wouldn't want to have a boy that could be taken from you. Now, we know that the midwives, the Hebrew midwives, were lying and saving babies. They went out of their way. They were heroes. They put their own lives at risk to save the babies. And when they were confronted about it, they said, well, the Hebrew women aren't like the Egyptian women. Basically, they lied. They're more stout, and they give birth before we get there at all. But they risked themselves to save these children. Well, Jochebed gave birth, and it was a male child. And you might think her heart sank until you read the account that we're going to read, and you look at what the Bible has to say about her and the thoughts that she had, or at least the actions that she took. So let's start by reading the text. I want to start in Exodus 2, 1 through 10. If your Bibles are open there, follow along with me. And a man of the house of Levi went and took a wife of the daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months. What would have happened had he been an ugly child? I'm not sure. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, dabbed it with asphalt and pitch, made it waterproof, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And her sister stood afar off. That would be Miriam, Moses' older sister, stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. Now note the word behold. This is a word that means check this out. This is amazing. Now, babies weeping is not an amazing thing, but the timing of a baby weeping could be amazing. That a woman picked up this child and it began to weep, and suddenly her heart melts like any woman would holding a baby. Picking up a baby, the baby starts to cry. She's like, oh, this baby. And so, behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Then his sister, Miriam, said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women? The word for nurse there means a nursing mother, a nursing woman. So I'm going to go and call a nurse for you among the Hebrew women, and that she may nurse the child for you. And Pharaoh's daughter said, go. So the maiden went and called the child's mother, Jochebed. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away, nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." Now she has given away her child, trusting God, having faith, and now she not only gets her child back, but she gets paid to take care of her own child. That's how God responds to faith. So it goes on to say, so the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." Now, Moses was chosen by God long before this, but we'll see this in a moment. God had a plan for Moses. He would spend 40 years being trained by the Egyptians. In order for Moses to do what God was going to do with Moses, he had to know how to write. And it's argued that the most significant thing that Moses gave us was the first five books of the Old Testament. And when I first began to pastor in the 1980s, I remember reading a book that said that writing didn't exist during the time of Moses. Now we've learned that writing existed thousands of years before the time of Moses, and that he was trained in how to write so he could write it. Not only that, he was trained as a soldier. He was trained in the ways of being able to lead people, and he would be a leader who would deliver out of slavery. The greatest thing about Moses is not that he's a prophet, but that he was a deliverer. He tried to deliver the children of Israel by his flesh, first of all. Remember, he tried to deliver a man who was being beaten by a taskmaster, killed him, and hid him in the sand. I wonder about his smarts. Hiding a body in the sand might not be the best place to hide a body. It's the most convenient for sure in Egypt, right? But he hides the body in the sand and then gets caught and leaves. So for 40 years, he learns everything that he needs to know. And then for the next 40 years, he learns that he's nothing. He becomes a shepherd in the wilderness. He marries a woman that he delivers, which is shocking that the deliverer would deliver a woman that he would end up marrying. He shows up at a well. The women are there with the sheep, and some guys come in with goats and start pushing the women out so they can water their goats, and Moses shows up. He's not only trained in writing, but he's a warrior. And he's like, "You're going to push these women around?" And he stands up for them. And one of them is like, "Oh, he's so strong, handsome, and a deliverer. And so they end up getting married. And follow me now on this. Then at the right moment and right time, God does something supernatural, and he appears to Moses in a burning bush. So now Moses begins to live for God. Your children can do the same thing. You pray for them, you have faith, you trust in God, and it may seem that everything is going awry for them. Certainly, we don't hear of Jochebed again, but certainly if she had learned your son at 40 is going to kill a man, and then he's going to be out in the wilderness until he's 80, she would think, "Oh, my child, my poor son." But she had no idea that God was going to use him in the last 40 years of his life in such a powerful way. You don't know what God's going to do with your children. And if he has to show up in a burning bush to do a work in their life, he will do that. Now, I'm not saying he's going to show up in a burning bush. I'm just saying that God can move in the lives of your children in ways that you don't even understand. Now, during World War II, there were over 6 million Jews who were killed. The majority of them were gassed to death, women, men, and children. It was a dark day. Anti-Semitism was the issue of their day. First of all, they dehumanized them, and then they killed them. And many children lost their lives. And it didn't take long for the Jewish communities around Europe to realize what was happening. And they had to do something. They had seen people gathered together. They had heard of the concentration camps. They had heard of the gas chambers. And so now mothers began to wonder, what can I do to save my child? Because in a nightmare, they're not only killing the men and women, but the children as well. So 10,000 kids were saved around Europe by mothers who gave their children to complete strangers for the most part. These were Jews giving their children to non-Jews who were part of a rescue program to save the children of Jews who were going to the gas chambers. And they sewed in the name of the Hebrew name of their child into their clothes, so, and gave them a name that wasn't Jewish so that they would be called by that, so they wouldn't be found out by their name, but they'd be able to have the parent get it out and tell them later what their Hebrew or what their Jewish name was. Now, many of those mothers didn't make it. They were sent to the gas chambers, but the mothers went to the gas chambers knowing that they had saved their children. They had given their children away to be able to save their children. And that's a child, and that's exactly what Jochebed did. We live in a world where difficult and hard days come, but in the midst of that, we need to have faith. And that's what we learn from this woman. So we start with, we have a little outline. Moms of faith resist, moms of faith release, moms of faith receive. They resist, they release, and they receive. In Exodus 2:2, we find, first of all, despite tough times, walk in faith. Besides her living in this nightmare moment where she gives birth to a male child and a decree has gone out by Pharaoh to kill the babies. By the way, archaeology is continuing to discover that the Jews, the children of Israel, the Hebrews, were in the area of Egypt during that time of slavery. There's a list that has been found fairly recently of slaves, and in that list are Jewish names like Ishkar and other Jewish names listed as slaves. There are many people who say, well, there's no record of slavery in Egypt. The reason for that is that history is written by the conquerors, and they wouldn't write about a slave rebellion. They didn't write about a slave rebellion, but we find little nuggets and pieces that show that the Bible spoke about these things. By the way, that document is dated to 1800 years before the time of Christ, the very time the Bible says this, that the Hebrew people were enslaved in Egypt. Now, in Exodus 2, the first part of the verse there, so the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful, a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months. The word for beautiful is the word good. He is good, well-formed. It's the same word when God said that he created things and they were good. God created the light and said it is good. He created the earth and he said it is good. He created man and he said it's not good. And all women said amen. Of course, he said it's not good for man to be alone. And so then he took a part of Adam and made a woman and brought her to him. And he said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. But that's the word good. There was something good about this child. Now, there's a parallel passage to the one that we read this morning in Exodus chapter 2. And it's in Acts chapter 7. We're not going to read it all today because we don't have time. But I want to read you just a part of it. This is where Stephen is being stoned. And he's the first martyr of the church. And Stephen begins to recite Jewish history to those that he's been arguing with that are now condemning him to death. And he talks about Moses. And here's part of what he says in Acts 7:20. At this time, Moses was born and was well-pleasing to God. This is new information. We saw that he was a beautiful child to the mother, to Pharaoh's daughter, but now we've learned that he's well-pleasing to God, that all of this is because God has a plan for Moses. Moses is the greatest Old Testament prophet. He is the writer of the law, and he is a type of Christ in that Jesus is a deliverer and Moses is a deliverer. We have a hot topic on comparing Moses and Jesus. A hot topic is on YouTube, where we just take shorter little things and we do like a short little video on certain topics. And we have a hot topic on them being a deliverer with all the comparisons between Moses and Jesus in the ways that they were deliverers. So Moses was well-pleasing to God and was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. Now, God saw this child. God had a plan. Jeremiah said, "You formed me unknown in the womb. You knew me in the womb before I was known, and you sanctified me in the womb." Luke calls John the Baptist a child in the womb because God's got a plan. God's got a plan for all of us. There's not a person here who is left out of God's plan. If you will call on his name, if you will surrender your life to him, if you will say, I will live my life for God, then God's got a plan for you. You are saved by faith, not by good works. You are saved for good works. You are God's workmanship, and he has created you to do things for him, just like he did Moses. It's not always the same. Now, Hebrews tells us that she, Jochebed, saw with eyes of faith. Hebrews 11:23 tells us more about this account. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. Obviously, that's not the faith of Moses, right? That's the faith of his parents who hid him for 3 months. But here it adds something. They saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. You might think that Jochebed and her husband would be terrified, but they weren't afraid. Why? Because they trusted God, because they walked by faith. And so they hid that baby for 3 months because they walked by faith, and Jochebed finally made a little boat, took him down to the river and put him in the river and floated him downstream. Now, we don't know whether she had that plan in her mind. When we read the story, there's two things that could be happening. One could be the complete providence of God. And providence is God working his will through ordinary circumstances. That's providence. A miracle is a miracle. But God's providence is at work in our lives every day. I'm not saying God doesn't do miracles for us, because I think he does. You may look back and see miracles God has done. But God works in every one of us in providence. It's not a miracle that a mother would put her baby in a basket and put it in the reeds when she needed to and trust that God would do something with that child. It's not a miracle that the older sister would follow the boat, even if Jochebed didn't send her, that she would follow it. It's not a miracle that a woman would look in a basket and see a baby weeping and pick it up and have compassion on it. All of those things are things that happen, but put them all together and you see the hand of God moving. Now, I'm not saying she didn't have a plan. It very well could be. We just don't know. It could be that she thought it through. I'm going to put the baby in the river. I know that the Pharaoh's daughter comes down every Tuesday at 3:00. I'm going to go and put the baby in the river when she comes down. She's got maids with her, a bunch of women. I'm going to trust that Moses is going to start crying because he always cries. Right there trying to hide this baby. He's always crying. And I'm going to trust that she has compassion on them. Maybe that was the plan all along. Maybe she even thought, and I'm going to have Miriam run up and say, do you want me to grab a mother and come and nurse your baby? And maybe she planned it all out. I kind of doubt it, but maybe, we don't know. Having a plan for God to do is not a bad thing. Now, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. We like to say, I love God and I have a wonderful plan for his life. I really wanted to work in my life in this way. The truth is, faith trusts God, that God will do it. Even that plan, if that was her plan, had so many ways to go wrong. It could have gone wrong in many, many ways. Starting with, what if she doesn't see the basket? What if it gets hidden in the river somewhere where no one can see it? You know, it just floats back into the reeds where it's blocked off. I mean, anything could go wrong. She had to trust God by faith. Faith acts before we receive the full plan. All she could do is put the water boat in the water and then stand back and let God do what God was going to do. And we need to do that too. We just need to take that first step of faith. God, it says she hid him for 3 months. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. When I became a little older, when I was 16, 17 years old, I really wanted to be a pastor, and I just didn't believe God was going to do it. I just thought, God's not going to do that. And so I began to look for other things I could do. Well, I was interested in music. I was interested in the guitar. I learned how to play the guitar, self-taught, learned how to play the guitar, basically make chords and strum it. By the way, that's how I played the guitar. There was no wild picking going on. There was none of that. It was just making chords and strumming the guitar. I invited my friends over, because I wanted to lead them in worship, my Christian friends, I wanted to lead them in worship. So I said, come over to our house, we're going to have a worship night. So in my mom's trailer in the living room, I got out my guitar, and I started to play, and I started to sing. And one of my friends, my closest friend at the time, Kenan Boer, halfway into the first song said, yeah, we're not doing this, and got up and left. And everybody left with him. And thus ended my career as a worship leader. I had that plan, but God had another plan. Now, I have led worship here at the church. We had a night, it was a, I can't go too long telling this story, but we had a night on New Year's Eve where we had a midnight service. We did that for years. We had a midnight service on New Year's Eve, and we counted down the new year, and then we took communion as the first thing that we did in the new year. We had a group that came to play with us, and they were a well-known group, paid a lot of money for them to come and be a part of that service for us. And when I came out and interrupted them 5 minutes before midnight, the guy got mad. The lead singer got mad and left. He just said, "We're going." And he took all of his stuff and went with him. And all the guys in his band were looking at him, watching him walk away, realizing they're supposed to play after communion. And they're kind of like, and they start gathering their stuff. Well, I'm supposed to count things down, and it's probably, I don't know, maybe it's 6 or 7 minutes before midnight. I'm supposed to count things down, and these guys are making a bunch of noise while they're leaving. So I go and get one of our team's guitar, and I put it on, and I lead them in the song, "I Waited." Do you guys remember that song? "I waited for the Lord on high." Now you guys are going to learn why I'm not a worship leader. "I waited, and he heard my cry. He pulled me out of my despair, showed me what..." Right? You guys remember that song? And you guys go, "I'm really glad God made you a pastor and not a worship leader." This side appreciates me. You guys don't. This side started applauding. I won't sing anymore today, although later on in the study, I'm going to be tempted to sing. I'm not going to do it. I thought, if God's not going to use me as worship leader, I'll be a counselor. But God didn't have that plan. And when I had time to do counseling, I ended up not enjoying it anywhere as much as teaching. In fact, I found out that I taught people. They would come in, they'd tell me what their problem was, and I'd go, "Oh, well, turn in your Bible over here. I got a little Bible study. It's a 3-point Bible study I want to give you on this." Because I had my plans and God directed my path, and God does that. Corrie Ten Boom said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Never be afraid to say, "Lord, take my children. I don't know what you're going to do, but I trust you, and I believe you're going to take care of them." And think about how late it was in Moses' life before God really even began to do anything. Now, faith is fruitful, and her faith was fruitful. She put this basket into the river, and look what God did from it. Proverbs 31:27 says, "She watches over the ways of her household," this is a mother, "and does not eat the bread of idleness." Suzanne Wesley had 19 children. Can you imagine that? Some of you guys have had a lot of kids. Some of you guys had 5, 6, 7. I've heard people having 8 or 9 kids. 19 children Suzanne Wesley had. And she poured into each one of them. She poured into their lives, and she poured her faith into their lives. And John and Charles Wesley, who were part of the Great Awakening in England, there was the Great Awakening in the United States as well, but John and Charles Wesley were part of the Great Awakening in England. He got kicked out of the Anglican Church as well because he was preaching the gospel, and he went out and preached on horseback. And he preached to tens of thousands of people on horseback, and his mother prayed for him, not knowing what God would do or how God would do it. And I believe that that will happen to us. In fact, I believe it's important for us to have children. We're living in a culture where people are not getting married young. We're living in a culture when people are not wanting to have children. I've had people tell me here recently, "I don't want to have children and bring them into this world." Well, then Moses would have never have been born. How many children in history would have never been born who were incredibly poignant for the moment in time that they were born into? And I believe that we're created to be a family. I believe that men, we are created to be fathers and providers. I was, in 1984, I was 24 years old. I was 24 years old when my daughter was born, Jessica. And it changed me. I can tell you that when I looked into her big brown eyes and I saw her screaming, which didn't stop for like 6 months, maybe longer, it didn't only change my life in that I got a lot less sleep. Suddenly, I will do anything for this little girl. Suddenly, I became a protector. I became a provider. This is something that is in us men. It's what God wants to fulfill you with. My stepson, Lyle, I called him and told him that I told this story. He said, "Go for it, it's yours." I confess, my poor children have grown up with me telling analogies of them, only to tell me later, Dad, don't tell that story. So when I told this about Lyle, I thought I better call him and confess. So Lyle is a battalion chief for the Tucson Fire Department, Kathy's son and her oldest. And they went to San Diego for a trip. In fact, we had gone with them. And he went out on the beach, and he went out swimming. And as he was making his way back, he got caught in a riptide. Now, Lyle's a big, strong guy. And he's swimming with everything he's got, but he's not making any progress. And Carrie's got her kids on one side of the beach, and this is happening with Lyle on the other side of the beach. She's a swim instructor, so she recognizes that he's in trouble, and she's looking at the lifeguard and trying to figure this out. And Lyle tells me what he was going through when he was doing it. He's exhausted. He had worked a night shift before the night before, and he's exhausted while he's swimming, and he gets to the point where he thinks he can't make it anymore. He said to me, it's the closest that I've come to death because I was ready to give up. I thought I couldn't make it anymore. And then he said, in his mind, he said, I have children. And he kept pushing. That will tell you what having, by the way, he made it to shore and the lifeguard showed up right when he got to shore. He pulls himself out of the water. Lifeguard goes, are you okay? He's like, yeah, he could have been here a little bit earlier for me. But he literally thought he was going to die, and his children pushed him to live. I have children. That's what happens to us. We change. And women, the same thing for you happens. Suddenly, when you hold that baby in your arm, you change. This is what you were made for. You were made to have families and to have children. And I encourage you, young people who are here, to do that. Our culture says, don't do it. Live for yourself. Go out and have your own fun. But that's not what you were made for. You were made to have families. Now, someone's going to bring up singleness, the gift of singleness. And let me just say with you, I agree with you, but it's rare. In 1 Corinthians 7, Paul talks about the gift of singleness, and it's for people to give up their lives to do more for God. You have a gift of singleness so you don't have to worry about a family. Now you can do more for God. You have to have that gift of singleness, and you'll know if you have that gift. And I should say, you'll also know if you don't have that gift. And I realized very young, I don't have the gift of singleness. And you find fulfillment in that. And so I'm not sure why I went into all of that, but there was something that led me there. So she puts him into this ark. The word ark is not a word for boat. It's the word for a box which you preserve things in. So it is a boat. They would put things in a box, float them down a river, and then collect it, kind of like they'd float wood down the river. So you can imagine you've got goods to move. You can move them in a cart. You could put them in a backpack and walk them down, or you could make a box and you could float it down. So that's what this word is used for. The Ark of Noah is the same word. It's to preserve. The Ark of the Covenant is the same word. It's a box that things were held in, that were carried on the shoulders of the Levites to preserve. And this ark was an ark that had no rudder, no sail, but would just float down the river. The ark in the New Testament becomes a type of Jesus. Jesus is our preservation. He's the one who we are in. We are in Christ, and we are saved when we are in Christ. So the ark becomes a type of that. Psalms 37:5 says, commit your ways unto the Lord, trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. God will move when you trust in him. So her pushing that ark away was her trusting that God would move. Commit your way to the Lord. Do what you can do. Do your best, and he'll take care of the rest. Do you remember who sang that? Here's where I'm tempted to sing another song. Keith Green, if you don't know who Keith Green is, look him up. He died in 1982 in a plane crash with two of his children. And he was a prophet kind of a guy. Not only listen to his music, but he's got a song called Asleep in the Dark. He brings people to your door, but you turn them away as you smile and say, God bless you, be at peace. And all heaven just weeps because Jesus came to your door and you left him out in the cold. Can't you see it's such sin? He came to your door and you left him out in the dark. They're just powerful songs. And in one of his songs, he famously says, do your best and he'll take care of the rest. He's going to do it, Just think about Moses in front of the burning bush. I could go on. I could do it. I'm not going to say. But do what you can do. Do your best, and God will meet you there, especially, well, I'm going to say when you do it in faith. Now, in Exodus 2:3, she put the child in and laid him in the reeds by the bank of the river. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Listen, God cares for your children. I have prayed for my children, every one of them, and I've said this, God, he's my son. God, she's my daughter. Lord, I pray, do something in our life. God cares about you, so you cast your cares on him. God loves you. He knows you. Sometimes we think, well, what I need to do is barter with God. God, I'll pray more. I'll read my Bible. I'll go to church if you just do something for my kids. No, God cares about you. You think God's up in heaven going, I need more people at church. I wrote a bestseller. You should be reading it. You know, think God's like, I've been needing more money. I don't know what I'm going to do. No, God already cares about you, and he cares about your kids. And so you, by faith, can call out upon him, casting your cares upon him, because he cares for you. God didn't explain to her the world that Moses was born into. She probably didn't understand it. We live in a world where there's a lot of darkness, and we wonder, why is there darkness? Why does God allow a world like it is today? He didn't explain the decree, but he worked through the decree. He used the decree. You probably can't get through a message like this without quoting Romans 8:28. Let me read it to you. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Doesn't mean God caused everything, but God can use all things together for the good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And God will do that in your life, even for your children. Trust in him. It might be when they're old that they would return, but God will hear your prayers, and God will respond if you can in faith. Jochebed stepped out in faith, and God stepped in when she stepped out in faith. When we step out in faith, God steps in to our lives to do his work. Exodus 2:8 and 9 says, so the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. Pharaoh's daughter says this to Jochebed. So the woman took the child and nursed him. Later on that night, she must have thought, what an amazing thing God did in saving my child and putting the child back in my hands. So then in Exodus 2:9 and 10, it says, so the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. God has a plan for our kids. He has a plan for our lives. Jochebed never appears again in the story of Exodus. She appears later on in other places like Hebrews and Acts, but she doesn't appear anywhere else in the story. She was here for this moment to take care of her child. And God loved her, loved Moses, and had a plan for him. May you have that kind of faith to trust in your child. Now, three things in closing. To trust in God for your child, not to trust in your child for God. To trust in God for your child. Number one, the work nobody sees is not wasted. The prayers that you give to God when no one else is looking is not wasted. Jochebed has no audience or guarantee. Neither did Susanna Wesley. God was watching the faith of both and always honors faith. Number two, there will come a moment when you have done everything you can do and the rest is in God's hands. You've done what you can do, and now you have to trust your God. The river belongs to God, and the outcome belongs to him as well. And finally, maybe you did not walk by faith when you were younger. Maybe you didn't know him, and so you couldn't call out for your children. So when you hear the passage, raise up a child in the way they will go, and when they're old, they won't depart, you go, well, I didn't know him. I wasn't able to raise him. But don't lose heart, because God cares about you, casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you. And you can pray for your children now. And you think that God's going to go, well, too bad. You should have done it when they were younger. I'm not going to answer your prayers now. God will hear your prayers, And God will move in wonderful ways when you surrender yourself to him and your children. I'm done. Stand with me. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the time that we had in your word today. Thank you that we're able to look at this tremendous woman of faith and her trust in you and how you move during this account. Lord, we pray that you would challenge us and encourage us. I thank you for the mothers that are here. I pray for the young people that are here, that you would bring them together supernaturally, that they would find someone who loves you, they would marry a believer, they would have a family, and who they were created to be would become that person as they make these families. Lord, do your work in our lives, we pray. And I pray for those who are here today who have never given their lives to you. I pray that they would surrender themselves to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.